It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats in chanty whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your name?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of Islamic Laws. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're joined by Sheikh Javid. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother, for accepting our invitation. Dear audience, in this program, we are going to try to give answer to some questions on Islamic laws regarding Muharram and the mourning ceremonies of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. According to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But first, let's listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei. Stay tuned.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. I'm Mahdi and we are joined with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, we have got a question about Muharram and mourning ceremonies. All of us know during Muharram, many people try to take part in mourning ceremonies of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. The question is that what is the view of the traditional reenactment of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, which may have some positive effect on the minds of people? Of course, according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is no harm in the traditional reenactment of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, as it's very much common in Iran and also in the region, Iraq and maybe in the neighboring, some of the neighboring countries, to give an example. So it is the reenactment, the traditional reenactment is allowed in and of itself, provided that it is free of lies and, you know, or any false things, and also these, you know, reenactments should not lead to any vile deeds or any corruption, and it should not undermine the true school of thought, because these are some of the potential dangers that may follow as a result of exaggeration, because there are some people, so-called Shia Muslims, who may want to exaggerate in order to, for example, make more people cry or to attract more people.
And sometimes they make up stories, I think.
Yeah, sure. That's the main problem. And of course,
a lion comes and things like that.
Yeah, that is the main issue we have to be very much careful of, making fake stories or, you know, exaggerating about the Ahlul Bayt, about Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, and also about his family members, is absolutely forbidden. We need to rely on trustworthy, on reliable sources, and also we also need to rely on the first-hand books written by great scholars like Sheikh Al-Mufid, like Kulaini, and like many other scholars who have written books about the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam. We should not rely on books written by unknown writers or people who have no knowledge of Islam, of course. And that's the main point that we need to be very careful about. It is preferable that assemblies commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam are held, where, of course, preaching can be done and words of guidance can be imparted along with the elegy recitation. You know, such gatherings are not only about, you know, passion shows or, you know, these are not, you know, gatherings to make people, cry or weep. But of course, these gatherings should create an opportunity for Shia Muslims and for other people who might come to watch the reenactment to learn lessons and also to get acquainted with the event of Ashura in the first place, and also the concept of Azadari and the concept or the goal of Imam Hussein's uprising against Yazid alayhi lana. Yes, so that is the main thing that we need to, of course, follow and to
consider
while dealing with such issues.
Mm-hmm. So. It is allowed, but we have to be careful about the negative effects of fake stories, which might enter these actually enactments.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, dear brother Sheikh Javid, for your nice answer. And now, dear audience, we are going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stars, your eyes pull me to you, who are you? I walk in the day with millions of
angels. I see you in all these faces. Who are you? One step I fade away, the next step I'm born again. You're flowing in my veins. Who are you? Wherever I get tired, you call me from far and near. Whenever I get thirsty, you start to melt and say to me,
welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Laws with me, Mahdi, and our dear expert, Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, we have got another question concerning Muharram. That is, what is Ayatollah Khamenei's view on beating the drum and cymbals and blowing the trumpet on the day of Ashura?
Well, of course, this is a very good question when it comes to using drums or beating drums or cymbals or blowing the trumpet. It is an ordinary thing in Iran, but it is not in any way ordinary or in any and the neighboring countries. And people in the neighboring countries, as far as I know, are beginning to get used and to get acquainted with beating drums. According to His Eminence, of course,
Ayatollah Khamenei.
Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, there is no harm in using the drum or cymbal or trumpet in the traditional way. Of course, as you know, that such tools tend to be misused by people.
Yeah, they are musical instruments.
Yeah, there are musical instruments coming and into be you see into play. And they are being played sometimes by some people without any organization or any institution to prevent them from playing those musical instruments. And unfortunately, as we see, instead of people getting sad or expressing the grief on the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, they get more enthusiastic. They get
excited,
and they. They don't feel any sadness on the day of Ashura. So this is the impact of misusing, or this is the evil of misusing these musical instruments. Of course, the religious authorities should jump in, and they should start. They should prevent certain people who want to misuse musical instruments, because the religious authorities have permitted using trumpet or beating drums and such things.
But the way they use it matters.
But they should, the way they should be used. It definitely matters, and they should be used in the traditional way. They should not be used in a way which is licentious, which is frivolous, which is considered to be, offensive or inappropriate, because a musical instrument can be used in a lot of ways, in different ways. If it's not used in the traditional way, then it may mean that it's not permissible. Of course, if it is considered to be offensive in some countries, like, for example, I have been to many countries, if, for example, it is reckoned to be offensive in a country like Pakistan or India, people should not, practice it, because it's considered in the common view, in the view of common Shia Muslims, to be a kind of expressing happiness. And to, because it's kind of exciting. So it is, according to the opinion of the local people or the common people living there.
According to the culture of the people.
Yeah, it is definitely not a means or by which one can express his grief and sorrow over the martyrdom of himself. So in such countries, the use of musical instruments which tend to be misused or exploited by people should not be encouraged, it should not be allowed, though is speaking from from the perspective of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, there's no problem in using and beating drums and using
or blowing trumpets
in and of itself. But since they may be used, therefore one has to be very much careful not to cross the limits and not to exceed the limits. And on a day when Ashura is going on, of course.
Thank you, dear brother Sheikh Jawid, for your nice answers, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. In case you have any questions, comments or suggestions, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Until our next episode, fi amanallah and goodbye.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it awaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of